We begin this hour of the program, though, by talking to one of the most talented comedians in the business. He's been doing stand-up for more than two decades now. Of course, he hosted his own television series, Titus. He's got a brand new movie coming out, and he'll be appearing at the Gracie Theater at Husson University this Saturday night with his Amerigeddon tour. We're talking about comedian Christopher Titus. Thanks so much for being with us, coming to the Gracie Theater this Saturday night, bringing your Amerigeddon tour. So much of your comedy has been based on family. Is it safe to assume that since this is a political show, that you've figured out that Washington is even more dysfunctional than most of our families?
Yeah, Congress, I think we've seen in the last couple of days, Congress is by far the worst dysfunctional family we've ever created in America. Yeah, man, I didn't want to write the show. I had to write the show. I wrote it to actually bring the country back together, you know. But when you say it's political, it's weird. It's kind of pseudo-political. I kind of talk more about us as a society more than the, you know, there's some jokes because it's obvious, because talking about politics right now is like trying to organize an interracial hoedown in 1840. It's just a pain in the butt.
As you travel the country and you talk to people, are we as divided as the people in Washington would like us to believe?
You know what's weird? When I started working on the show, I started doing the Breaking in the Brandon material last January. And yes, we were. As it's gone on, and on a daily basis, you know, there's like five screw-ups a day. There's five crazy things in the news every day. People have kind of lightened up, so I think we all get that. We better start coming together again. You know, there's some Trump jokes in there, but also, and here's the thing I said, if anybody out there laughed at one Obama fried chicken joke, you're going to laugh at some Trump jokes, all right? But the reality of the show is, at the end of the day, I just want to bring the country back together. You know, the more they keep us fighting, the more they keep running stuff, taking our money, taking our health care, raising our taxes. So I think I'm just trying to bring the country together one drunk audience at a time. That's my entire point.
Yeah, well, obviously, we know the guy in the big chair is out of his freaking mind, but are there any heroes in that collection in Washington right now?
I don't know. What do you think? It seems like everybody, I think nobody can actually like step up. Who do you think, man? Do you have anybody?
No, nobody. No, why would they be there if they could help us?
It's always some weird senator you've never heard of. You know, it's like there was a woman the other day that said something about Trump. She said that, she goes, I really don't need to be lectured about the military by a guy who got five draft deferments. And I was like, oh, it almost turned into a rap battle. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, like, Tammy Duckworth, who I think lost her legs in the Iraq War.
That's who it was. Yeah,
she can speak up. Man, oh man.
There's a great picture of the woman from Washington, the senator from Washington, was sitting behind Schumer and McConnell. And the look on her face when they were both talking, you got to go look it up, man. It is the funniest thing. She has this look on her face like we all feel. Like, you know, oh my God, I just want to put a bullet in my own brain right now. So I think it's time we laugh about this crap. At the end of the day, it's time to stop taking it so serious and laugh at it, because we're going to get a new idiot in 4 years anyway. We're going to get another idiot and then another idiot. And hopefully, if we can come together, we can actually get somebody who's not an idiot.
That's a certainly optimistic view of things here. Now, I have to ask you this, because we were listening to the podcast, Christopher. Is it true, and God, I hope it is, that Norwegians smell like citrus and magic?
Yeah. You know, my assistant, I write those, when I do the podcast, the Titus podcast, I write this thing called the Armageddon Update, and I was, and my assistant called me laughing. He goes, dude, that's the funniest line you've ever written. I'm like, wow, how bad do I suck if that's the funniest line I've ever written? But yeah, Norwegians do smell like citrus and magic. Yes, they do.
Which is better than what I was expecting, which is, what is it, lutefisk that they make out in Minnesota? I don't even, something, some part of a fish that nobody wants to eat.
Yeah, fish and cheese was my second choice, but I thought citrus and magic was better.
I like that. It makes me wish I were Norwegian. Hey, tell us a little bit about, if you can, Chris, tell us a little bit about the movie. You've been working on it for a while, and now it's out there and ready to go. Special Unit, the movie.
I have a lot of friends who are disabled. They don't get a shot in Hollywood. In fact, Hollywood talks a great game about them. And they're like, these guys, we love the disabled, but they will not put them in a movie. And if they do put them in a movie, it's Brad Pitt playing a disabled guy. So I wrote this movie. Due to the Fairness and Disabilities Act, the LAPD has to hire four handicapped undercover detectives, and I play Nick Nolte's mugshot plus 40% more scumbag. I'm the worst guy, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm calling them retards, and I'm... And what I wrote it because I have friends that are disabled, and they get it's so weird how they get treated. You hang around them long enough, you start to see how they get treated, and they get dismissed. And so I kind of wrote my character to be all those incidents. I wrote my character to be the worst guy. And it's on Amazon now, and it's on Apple TV, and it's on Google Play. And it's all 5-star reviews. I think we've got like 155 star reviews now. It's really a good movie. Really funny. And really wrong.
Which I love that. When you're wearing a lot of hats, like an actor, director, producer, writer, who do you complain to when you're not happy?
I would just go home, stare in the mirror, and yell at myself. I have to be honest. I had Billy Gardell on the set. Me and Billy were friends. Billy's kind of like my Yoda. Like, I would get, you know, we had some prop guys that were, like, slowing everything down. And we had so, you know, we raised the money ourselves and had it made. And Billy, I'd go to Billy, and Billy would just sit down and just talk me through it. I didn't stab anybody, which probably would have helped the film because I got more press.
We're talking with Christopher Titus. He will be at the Gracie Theater this Saturday night with his Amerigeddon tour. And I mean, you've been in the comedy business for a long, long time. People who remember the TV series fondly, like we do, thought you came out of nowhere, but there was a lot of work that went into it. The landscape has changed so much that there are more opportunities to get your work out there without having the middleman, but it also means you've got to do a lot more of the heavy lifting.
Yeah, man, it's a lot of hustle. But at the end of the day, here's the thing. At the end of your life, do you want to know that you basically had your idea taken, bastardized, switched, stepped on by somebody who wasn't even a comic that just ran a network? Or do you want to do exactly what's in your head and your heart, get it done, put it out there, and you may not make as much money, but at least you can say it. I did that. And if it sucks, it's my fault, too. And I'm used to that. I'm so used to it being my fault that I'm fine with it.
What's more dysfunctional, Washington or Hollywood?
I think Hollywood's trying to do good things. Washington seems to be, they're all making money on themselves. But I think Harvey Weinstein aside, and Bill Cosby aside, and Kevin Spacey, okay, Hollywood. Hollywood's way worse. Sorry, animalistic people. I realized that I cannot defend Hollywood either. Holy crap.
I know that one of your comedy role models is a hero to a lot of us, and that's George Carlin. What was it about his work that made you look up and say, I'd like to do something like he did?
There's a bit in the new show called We, They, Them that's very Carlin-esque. Kind of like, I think it's his writing. You know, so many comics I know will get up on stage and they'll just kind of come up with a rough idea, get on stage and start kind of like pounding through it, trying to find funny. I sit down, Carlin was a writer. He sat down and wrote everything. And it was a master of words. And that's why I like Patton Oswalt, too. So I'll sit down and write. Bill Burr, I was doing a show, and so I asked Bill Burr to come watch it before we taped it and at a club. And Bill, I had my computer open backstage, and Burr looks at my computer and he goes, you write this crap down? Are you serious? I'm like, don't you? He goes, nah, just get up there till it's funny. And I just don't think that's fair to the audience. I want to be able to have hard jokes and then make them better with my performance. So Carlin, I think to this day, whenever a comic tells me how great they are or something, I go watch We Are All Disease. Go watch these three bits from Carlin. And then, because what it does is it makes you feel like you should quit comedy and be a welder. That's how good Carlin is.
You've talked so much about your own family and the challenges that you faced there through the years, and people love to laugh at it. But I have to imagine, too, you've had a lot of people who've reached out and said, dude, that's my story, too. I had similar things happen.
Yeah, I call that the bonus, man. People come to me. It's so funny because all my specials, I've done 7 now, this is my 8th one, and I forgot the 9th one in my head. The next one's called Stories I Shouldn't Tell, and my family's probably going to sue me. But that's not the point. The point is, people come up to me and they'll go, dude, I just want to tell you Norman Rockwell changed my life, or Love is Evil made it so I didn't kill myself after my divorce. And that's the bonus. You know, it's got to be funny first. But years ago, I saw Lily Tomlin do Signs of Intelligent Life, and it was really funny and really amazing, and the character work was great. But at the end, it kind of had a point without making a point. I try to make a point without making a point. I don't want to be, man, for the last thing I want to be is preachy. You know, you just don't want to be preachy to a Hallmark movie. But if at the end, if I, like this movie, this, like I always pick something to design a show about. This show is to bring America together, you know, and that's why it's all about politics, which is probably the dumbest, hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But I think you have to pick something, what it's about, and then like, go for it. Just go for it full out. And it takes me about a year and 2 months to get something really good. And then we're going to tape it. We're going to tape this one in 3 months. So if you come to the show, you're not going to see it when I'm reading it off paper. Sometimes people show up and I take a ream of paper out. I can just see them go, oh, great, he's practicing. Sorry, guys.
And the best comedy, obviously, and you've proven that for years, it comes from a place of truth.
Yeah, I always tell comics, you know, the comics will say, how do you do what you do? And I just say, you got to be honest. But I'll see a comic, you know, comics have a tendency where, especially young guys, they try to make it general. And the more specific you get, the better it is. Because we're all human beings. We've all experienced something like it. So I'll tell comics, you know, guys like, you ever notice when you go to get in the shower? I'm like, dude, tell a specific story about you taking a shower, why you wrote that bit. You're going to get the same jokes, but it's going to be about you. And here's the cool thing about storytelling, is that the audience, it's weird. They get tuned into you, and they start leaning forward. Nothing's unfunnier than talking about how comedy works. So I apologize to everybody.
Christopher,
there's a joke in this new show. Like, it's funny because this show was hard because I had to go all over the country. You know, I don't want it to work in one area, and I didn't check. I wrote it, and I didn't check where I was going. And I, you know, because I've been doing this long, I call my agent on Monday. I want to go this week, and they go Alabama. I was like, oh no, I am not going to Alabama because Kevlar is expensive, my friend. I was there, and it was like, and there was people in the audience that had obviously swamp boated in. And I was on stage working out these Trump jokes, and there was a dude with a beard and a dude with a jersey, a red, white, and blue jersey. It said 40, it's in Huntsville, Alabama, 45 on his chest, and it said Trump on the shoulders. And I was doing this show about kind of what a Nimrod we've elected, and they're both staring at me. They put their arms crossed. The women were at the table laughing, but these guys are staring at me. And there's a joke I do in the show. The joke goes, we didn't want a vagina in the White House, so we voted for the other side of the taint. And this dude with the beard, his eyes opened up, and he fought it, and he went, all right, damn it, that's pretty funny. All right. And I thought, comedy can heal a nation. That's what we're going to do.
There you go. Go see Christopher Titus. Begin the healing process this Saturday night at the Gracie Theater at Husson University. Christopher, we've been fans of your work for a long, long time. Thanks so much for talking with us today.
Guys, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Good stuff there. Christopher Titus, again, Saturday at the Gracie in Bangor.